Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this season, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Heroes Unlimited to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Heroes Unlimited Revised 2nd Edition, the second printing from December 1998. Today we're discussing page 254 of Heroes Unlimited. I gotta give you a very serious content warning for positivity this episode, because I gotta tell you, this page gets two big thumbs up from me. It's still dumb. Don't worry. We don't have to end the podcast. However much some of our families may wish that it were ending, it goes. The gods of Podcast Valhalla will not be denied, and I'm still doing the podcast, even though today I do love this page, but I love it because it's dumb. So if that's okay with you, then keep listening. Here's the deal. Today, we're still in the major super ability section. We are talking about bio armor. This is, again, one of those very 90s powers, and what it amounts to is you can summon this sort of cool-looking body armor all around you, and it just defends you like armor does. It's really good armor, it's really light armor, and it has a couple little side benefits. It makes you resistant to certain kinds of damage, like heat and cold, gives you a little bonus to damage, and so on. All these stats are rock solid. The thing is, a power doesn't need to be super powerful to be good. Part of Heroes Unlimited that you just have to accept is that it is not power balanced in any way. So every power or type of hero really needs to be judged on its own terms. A major power is not necessarily going to be as strong as another major power, and that's by design. Sometimes you want to play a character who's got a lower power level. You got to judge the power according to, number one, is this going to be fun to play? Number two, does the power level sort of match the fiction? Number three, does this in fact do what it sets out to do? And here, I mean, granted, this is pretty hard to fuck up, but we've seen many instances at this point of things that seemed impossible to fuck up that were nonetheless heroically fucked before our eyes. Today, it works. The power works. The armor works. It's armor. But how important is the armor aspect of armor, really? This brings us to the dumbest thing on this page. I submit to you that especially in the 90s, with fans who are obsessed with artwork, obsessed with cool character concepts and designs, obsessed, in fact, with the very idea of coolness. Those old superheroes with their primary colored underwear outside their pants, they're dumb. They're uncool. We want cool heroes. Being a cool hero often involves like metallic blades or chromed out guns or cybernetic arms or cool sleek armor that you wear, right? Tights are for losers. 90s superheroes wear armor and big fuck off metal shoulder pad things. Pauldrons. Pauldrons and Pouches is the name of my 90s superhero RPG. Coming soon. Watch out on Kickstarter. Nobody gives a fuck that you can't be killed with bullets while you're wearing the armor. Superheroes can't be killed by bullets at all, at least not permanently. That's not the important part. The important part is the style. The important part is the look, the statement. And remarkably, wonderfully, ridiculously, bio armor mandates and mechanizes this style over substance approach to armor. Basically, the whole two-paragraph introduction to this power before we get to the mechanics is full of not fluff, but crunch about how cool your armor looks. Let me just read you how it breaks down. Quote, "The exact appearance of the armor will depend on the mindset, personal taste, and alignment of the super being, i.e., those attracted to power may be big and bulky, others sleek and almost skin tight, while the armor of those with a darker nature may look menacing and covered with small spikes, etc." Nothing more menacing than small spikes. When I think of somebody wearing a lot of small spikes, for sure, I think of dangerous dudes, not like little bracelets you would buy from Hot Topic if you're a high schooler who thinks you'd probably be into bondage if you could ever get a date. But regardless of whether you are a big and bulky personality, or a sleek and skin tight personality, or a dark and twisted individual whose psyche can best be summarized by tiny spikes, regardless of all that, there are nonetheless rules you gotta follow. Quote, "The main body color, the majority of the armor, is one consistent color. Typically," and here we're gonna get a list of Kevin Sambita approved cool colors, to wit, metallic silver, gold, bronze, copper, molten red, chrome, pewter, light gray steel, medium gray steel, dark steel blue, blue-black, or black. So that's your menu of choices. As we all know, there are only so many personality types in human nature, right? Some people are gold, some people are bronze, some people are chrome. You may be thinking to yourself, hey, doesn't this armor reflect my inner nature? Like, shouldn't it be whatever color I am inside? Well, yes, and you're one of these colors. If you think you're not, then you're wrong. I can just hear you now complaining, objecting, like, well, what if I want my armor to be dark gray steel? No, fuck you. You need to do more introspection, because I think you'll find there are light gray steel people in this world and medium gray steel people in this world. There are no dark gray steel people in this world. Maybe you're thinking of dark steel blue. Could that be it? The rules here are very specific. Like the very first one, metallic silver. You think you're going to get away with bio armor that is silver colored, as in light gray, like silver hair? No, it's not cool enough. It's got to be metallic. Otherwise, it isn't cool enough. This power's got fail safes. So okay, that's the main body color. But you, look, remember, this is an expression of your inner psyche, your individual personality. You get to make choices about the details. Quote, additional highlights and markings are usually limited to parts of the body and or chest to create the illusion of gloves, boots, insignia, or stylish lines and patterns. These additional markings can be a different color than the main body, but never consist of more than two additional colors, typically just one extra color or shade. Only you know the depths of your own psyche, especially if you're like a grizzled, complex 1990s comic book character. So if you say you need not just a black, skin-tight jumpsuit armor, but also molten red trimming, I believe you. You know, I respect your lived experience of molten red. That's cool. Chrome insignia? Okay, now watch yourself. You're starting to be too complicated. You know, reflecting your deepest recesses of your inner psyche is one thing, but at a certain point, the costume is just busy. We can't have that. One more color? Absolutely not. No way. Rein it in, Jack of Hearts. It's not the Bronze Age anymore. The only two hard and fast rules of this game. Number one, no neutral alignments. Number two, no more than three goddamn colors on the bio armor. All the great superheroes who are popular in the 90s with shiny outfits, pretty much two colors. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for you. So there's so much to love here. There's so much that's dumb here. Enshrining in the rules the idea that bio armor is too cool to have any color that is not like metallic and or crimson, it's so dumb. Limiting the number of colors you can use in the palette of your armor when it's meant to reflect your individual psyche and preferences, so dumb. I mean, like, the clear implication is nobody belongs in a 90s comic book story whose personality, if visualized, would consist of more than three colors, all of them shades of black and chrome. But I guess the fundamental dumb thing is to have a superpower so wrapped up in aesthetics, right? The whole appeal of this power, because it's not as powerful as, you know, being a rock man or being a titanium lady with alter physical structure, colon, metal. It's not the power, it's the ability to draw your distinctive look and like summon it at will, like a badass 90s superhero, to then give rules about what you can draw. That's probably the only negative thing about this. But even that, I can't hold against it, because it is dumb in that wonderful way that Heroes Unlimited is sometimes dumb, where it is this wonderful synergy between the arbitrary whims of Kevin Sambita and the play experience of a kid picking up this book who might have had fun just drawing superheroes on binder paper, but they could do that anyway. This book gives them limits. If you want to play a cool superhero who can make badass bio armor, you got to follow Kevin Sambita's rules on what colors it can be and how many colors you can use and where the accents go. And within that, you can draw a badass superhero who you maybe wouldn't have drawn otherwise. So it's dumb, but I love it. Join me tomorrow for a very 90s superpower about which I have a lot fewer nice things to say on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. And if you like my tiny little podcast, consider giving me a tiny bit of money at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That is ko-fi.com/megadumb. MDC, Palladium Books, Heroes Unlimited, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is To the Top by Midair Machine, whose work you can find at freemusicarchive.org/music/askagain. That's ask again, two words with a space in between. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.